Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. I'm actually recording this at the weekend while the lovely Ivy is out at drama class. So the house is really nice and quiet, and it's a beautiful, bright winter's day outside. And it just seemed like I had something to say to you today, so I thought I would record today. Recently, I've been asked by a number of teams to work with them on their influencing skills. Now, of course, for the last 17 years that I've been doing this kind of work, I've been asked to work on influencing skills quite a lot. It's certainly been a theme while I've been in my profession, and probably for a lot longer than that. I think Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, was published in the 1930s. So influencing has been a concern for businesses and leaders within business for a long time. But recently I've been wondering, is there a different way to run these sessions than the kind of conventional way of the top five tips for influencing and a bit of presentation skills and a few scripts to help to influence? To me, these days, that doesn't feel like it's in line with how I think about leadership and the kind of leaders we really need. And so when I've been responding to these requests to run sessions on influence, I've been thinking about them slightly differently, and I wanted to share that thinking with you today. I wanted to start by talking about why I think I'm getting so many requests around influence and influencing skills. And I think that it's just become much more difficult to have an influence in your business than at any time in the past. Firstly, people are very busy, so there's much less time to sit around talking to people, or it certainly feels that way. The technology gets in the way. We aren't wandering around our offices. We aren't having to go and see people at their desks. We can send them an email. We can tweet them. We can write on the internal messaging board. There are lots of ways that the technology gets in the way of us having relationships with people. We're often part of global teams, so you're not sitting in the same room, often not even in the same country as the people that you're trying to build these relationships with. You maybe have a lack of status. In the past, your position may have given you a certain amount of authority, a certain amount of power. And these days, you don't have that automatic status, that automatic power. Plus, you're trying to influence outside of your own team. So you're no one's boss in this situation. You are their peer, or maybe not even their peer. They may be higher up in the hierarchy than you are. Plus, there's a massive need to break down silos and to work collaboratively. And so people are really trying to figure out, how do we do this? So I think that is the background, the context in which this question about how do we get better at influencing comes from. But the problem I have a little bit with the idea of influencing, with the word, is some of the baggage associated with the word. It is so much about trying to get other people to do something that you want them to do. When people are asking about influencing, I'm sometimes concerned that that's what they're asking about. And that's not really the style of leadership that I think we need today, or in fact, the style of leadership that's going to work in most organizations. For me, when you have a problem like this, so for instance, you don't have as much influence as you think you need, you don't start to solve the problem at the same level that the problem arises. I think that maybe Albert Einstein said something like that at some point, but you don't start there. You have a problem with influencing, or that's how it feels to you, and so you Google how to influence and you find one of the millions of articles about top five tips for influencing. I think you have to go further back. You don't start thinking about influencing when you realize there's a topic that you need to influence on. You don't start thinking about influencing and then try to be a better influencer. Instead, you step back. You look inside yourself. Are you a person who generally has influence? Are you someone who does find it possible to change people's minds, to change people's behavior? What is it that you're doing and how you're being that is influencing your ability to engage other people on topics that are important to you? And for me, that turns influencing into something that isn't about getting other people to do something you want them to do for you, but about yourself. The ability to influence and to change minds comes from inside. So when we think about influencing that way, we have a different starting point for how to improve it. The place to start, I think, first is around relationships. What will often happen is that we neglect relationships until we need something from someone else, and then all of a sudden the relationship with them becomes really important. So we initiate the relationship at which point we need something from the relationship. And of course, that's pretty transparent. It's certainly very shallow, and I don't think that very many people are convinced by it. I think they know when you're trying to build a relationship with them because you want something from them. And if you look at a lot of the traditional stuff on influencing, going right back to Dale Carnegie, it's all about winning people over, adapting your style to match theirs, matching and mirroring their body language and their verbal language, their vocabulary, NLP. And to me, this is very shallow and it doesn't actually work. It doesn't have the influence you think it's going to have. At the very most, you'll be able to manipulate people into doing what you want them to do, but you haven't really influenced. They haven't really changed their mind. They've just been tricked into doing what you want them to do. But also, it's really hard to sustain because your heart's not in it. You are doing a trick on people. You are doing a technique and it is fake. And therefore, you will avoid it whenever possible and only do it when you really, really need someone to do something that you want them to do. And that is not the basis of a good relationship. Relationships are best when they are formed out of a generous spirit. When you want to give as much as you want to get, when maybe you have no agenda at all. So get out of your chair and go and meet some people. I was listening to a podcast, a Jess Lively podcast, the other day where she interviewed a guy called Rob Lawless. You can find him on Instagram. His handle is Rob's 10K Friends. And his little project, well, it's not actually that little a project, is to meet 10,000 people and spend an hour having conversations with them. Now, you don't need to meet 10,000 people. You could meet 12 people in 2017. You could meet one a month for the next 12 months and spend an hour getting to know them. Pick 12 people that you need to build strong, trusting relationships with for the benefit of the business. Not people where you have an angle where you want to get something from them, but 12 people that you know between you, you could make a lot of difference in the organization. You could make it 45. You could meet someone for an hour every week for the 45, 46 hours that you're at work over the next year. Over the last week, I've had 9 one-hour conversations with members of a team that I'm going to be working with in a couple of weeks. It wasn't that hard. I know a huge amount now. Certainly 9 hours more than I knew before I started talking to them. And I have actually really changed my mind about what the challenges are based on those conversations versus what I thought the challenges were when I first embarked on talking to them. These are proper getting to know you conversations without wanting anything back. Creating networks, particularly today, where people are disconnected from their colleagues, disconnected from their suppliers, disconnected from their stakeholders, disconnected from their customers, is even more important. It gives you a massive advantage when it comes to the point that you do have a situation and you need people to listen to you. So number one is to prioritize relationships and relationship building from a sense of purpose and of giving and of generosity and not wanting something back. The second element for me that's really important is belief. Firstly, belief in the message. And secondly, belief in yourself as a person with legitimacy to lead on that message. So if we think about the message, first of all, do you believe in the message? Do you believe in the thing that you're trying to influence and change minds on? Because if you don't, how can you expect others to buy it? Years and years ago, I did some media training with people. As you know, my background is as a broadcast journalist. And so I was helping some teams with their media presence and with dealing with being on air, on radio or on TV or talking to print journalists. And it became quite clear to me that the message that they wanted to present to the media was not something often that they really believed in. And therefore, they were really vulnerable when they went on the air. A journalist, a presenter, can see very clearly when there are flaws and where you don't feel confident in the message yourself. And of course, that is where the journalist will go and start attacking. Now, it might not be quite as dangerous in your organization, but people can tell when you don't really believe the thing that you're talking about. So question number one is, do I believe it? If you don't believe it, if you can't, then influencing is not the problem that you have. It's the strategy itself. And then that's a different issue entirely, which we can deal with at some future point. But there is absolutely no point attempting to be successful at influencing, at changing people's minds, if you don't even buy the message that you're communicating. But the second aspect of belief is believing that you're the right person to deliver the message. You can believe something is really important, super important, but if you don't believe that you have legitimacy as the person to deliver it, as the person to lead on this message, then you're not going to be able to do so convincingly. You have to believe that you have the right to be having this conversation with people, otherwise you won't get anywhere. Next, putting yourself in other people's shoes. As I said, very often influencing is seen as, I want you to do something that I want you to do, and I'm going to use influencing techniques to bring you round to my way of thinking so you'll do what I want you to do. I don't think that really works. It certainly isn't sustainable. You have to put yourself in the other person's shoes. Something that happens quite often when I'm talking to teams in advance of doing work with them is that they will complain about the other teams that they have to work with. And often they'll say, we're the only ones that take this seriously. We're the only ones that put the organization first. We're the only ones that understand how important this is. Other teams have got other agendas less important than ours. I don't really believe that. I believe that they have other agendas, I just don't believe that they're stupid and that you're the only one who knows what's good for the organisation. People are operating with different agendas, they have different priorities, they have been employed to do different things and look after different areas within the business, and that's what really matters to them. They are measured by different metrics. Now, at some level, you probably do share the same agenda, you know, what's good, what's best for the organisation. But unless you're in a highly purpose-driven organization where purpose wins, that agenda is normally at a pretty high level and not a day-to-day priority. So what are the day-to-day priorities? If you're really honest with yourself, what's actually driving you? Is it that higher purpose of the organization? Or is it stuff like your reputation, your fears, your sense of duty, your annual objectives? Your bonus. Really think about why this is important to you. It's very easy to say that, well, it's important to me because it's important to the whole business. This is absolutely business critical, is it? Or is it business critical to you because your reputation and your career is at stake if you fail? Chances are it's something more like that, and it's the same for the people that you're trying to influence. They're coming from that position too. They're coming from their reputation, their career, their job security, their ability to influence. And if you don't step into their shoes and see life from their perspective, you will never be able to come to an agreement about what the right thing is to do. Which leads me on to my next point. There is no right answer to pretty much any question in the universe. In traditional influencing, we believe we have the right answer, and then we go around trying to get other people to agree that our way of doing things is right. But if we accept that there is no right answer, then your job isn't to persuade people of your point of view. If you're really able to change the behaviour of others, to change their mind, you also have to be willing to change yours. You may not know what you need to do differently, how you need to see things differently, how you need to shift your perspective, let alone what they need to do differently and how they need to shift. If you accept that you don't necessarily have the right answer, but that between you, maybe you can find one that meets their priorities and your priorities, then you also have to accept that you might need to change your view. When you do that, it is possible for you to get into dialogue, conversation, get creative between us. How are we going to overcome the obstacles? How are we going to do the right thing here? Ego can really get in the way here. If you're not willing to change how you see things, why would you believe that anyone else is willing to change the way they see things? And this is where influencing is so much about inner work. When you model that you're open-minded, that you're curious, that you're interested in what things look like from the top of other people's mountain, and that you're willing to change your mind, your perspective, then you actually influence other people to do the same. You give them permission to change their mind too. Now, some people worry about this. They say, why should I be the only one who's willing to bend? Why should I be the one to give in first? And my view to that is, well, at least you're halfway there then. You have the most influence over yourself and your own perspectives. You can far more easily change that than you can change other people's attitudes and perspectives. Plus, you can only have conflict where you have defense. As soon as one person starts to defend, that's war. But where you don't defend, no war is possible. Then you can come to a solution by talking, by getting creative, by thinking about solutions that will suit you both. And let's say that you're the only one in this dialogue who's willing to see things from the other person's perspective. Okay, at least you've done that. Traditional influencing wouldn't work any better. An intransigence about changing your own mind and just trying to get other people to change theirs isn't going to work. So what's available to you? Well, what's available to you is that you become more open-minded. You become the one who's willing to see things differently. If you're unwilling to do that, you are certainly asking a lot of them to do it. You've got a standoff then. It becomes a power play. I won't back down first because I'll be seen as weak. And isn't that exactly what we're trying to get rid of in business? Isn't that where politics and conflict and this whole hierarchy and status play comes from? How does that really help any of us? How does that help the organization? How does that help the customer? Remember anyway that you're not backing down, and you're certainly not backing down so you can have the higher moral ground. You're just trying to be 50% of seeing things in a new way, because that is something you have complete influence over. So get up out of your chair and go and meet people. Meet 12 people, meet 40 people, meet 10,000 people if you want. Even if you only meet five, those five people know five people who know five people. Chances are you're only ever one or two people removed from everyone in the organization and everyone that you need to have a relationship with. And looping right back to the beginning of this podcast, it's the building of relationships where everything starts. You cannot make change without trust. And traditional influencing doesn't do anything to build trust. If anything, it damages trust because it's fake and it is insincere. I just want to add one final word, which is that some organizations are moving away from consensus building at all. So influencing lives in a consensus-based organizational culture. That's where it's important. But if you don't have a consensus-based organization, then influencing is unnecessary. If people are truly empowered, if they are given true responsibility to make certain decisions themselves without the need to get buy-in, in other words, without the need for consensus, then you can pretty much dispense with traditional influencing and even some of the things that I've said in this podcast. Relationships remain really important, but that need to align everyone in order to get everyone's agreement in order to move forward is less important. I'm not going to talk very much about that today, but I just want to throw it in because consensus and the idea that consensus is critical has become so wired into company culture that we don't even question it. In actual fact, it's a really interesting question to ask. Do we actually need it? I mean, look how hard it is to influence. Look how much groundwork you have to do. Look how much time it takes. Is that really the best investment of time? Or would a better investment of time be, this is going to be my decision because I own this remit. I have full accountability for this particular remit that comes with my role or the roles that I hold in the organization. I will have relationships because I will want to get advice and input. But in the end, the decision is mine and I don't need buy-in. Something to think about. Next week is an interview show. I will be talking to Lawrence McCarhill, one of the founders of Happy Startup, which is a business school, but a really different kind of business school. We'll be talking about the Happy Startup Canvas, which is a set of questions that help people form strong business foundations. And Lawrence and his colleagues have a really different perspective from traditional big business, which even if you're not in a startup yourself, may spark ideas for you about how to bring entrepreneurial spirit into your company culture and into your strategy and the way that you think about your company's purpose. But that's next week. For now, let's hand over to the lovely Ivy Palmer, who will tell you how to stay in touch and how to be part of the conversation.
We now have a Facebook page where you can get information about the podcast, links to other articles and experts, and connect with like-minded people. Just search Punks and Suits and like our page. Of course, you can also follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or email her blair@thatpeoplething.com. But most importantly, we want people to be able to find out about the podcast, and you can help with that. Please share the iTunes link on social media. Leadership is changing fast, and with your help, more people will discover how to make a difference and create organizations that are a force for good in the world. Da da da! Blackout! I think I might be a little bit gassy.